Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have an old friend, Melanie Brown, and she is with Strategic Business Assistance. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you, Lee.
I'm excited to learn about Strategic Business Assistance. How are you serving folks?
Well, what I am doing, I'm actually helping people source financing via the SBA loan program by matching lenders that meet a borrower's needs at a specific time. Because as you may know, banks lend for different things at different times, and especially with this unusual year that we've been in, 2020 with the COVID and now rolling into 2021, there's been a lot of distractions, especially with the SBA lending market, with the banks that have needed to process the PPP loans. And now that's about to come back online again. So there's a lot of confusion as to who's actually lending for what. So I try to help my borrowers navigate those waters and find them a source for their funding.
So that, and how does the relationship work? Like if somebody says, hey, I would like to borrow something from somebody and I don't know how to do any of that. Do I contact Melanie and her team and then you kind of do that for me, or you show me how to do it? Like what is exactly the service?
So I work as a consultant with the client. So yes, I would get referred the client directly from either a banker that knows they can't help that borrower, a commercial real estate broker, a franchise group. And I work directly with that borrower and I act as their quarterback to consult with them and let them know exactly what to expect through the process, what they need to have prepared to provide to the lender. And then I know who in the marketplace is actually lending for that type of transaction. For example, if it's a startup franchise business, I know what lenders will lend for that industry because there's a lot of banks that participate in the SBA, but they may not fund startup transactions. They will only finance existing companies with historical cash flow, even through the SBA. So sometimes you just got to know what institution is willing to look at, the different specific types of transactions. So I navigate that for the borrowers. And by doing that, I actually save them a lot of time versus them picking up the phone and calling individual banks and getting possibly turned down by several before they find that home run. I kind of help them navigate that. And the other thing is, because of my relationships with the financial institutions, I'm basically working with all my friends in the industry. And I kind of brag that I only work with the rock stars. So the service that I'm getting is incredible. And they're going to pick up the phone when they see me calling versus if they see an unknown number coming through. So there's that relationship component that I provide to the client as well that really helps streamline that process of them finding the right source for their funding.
Now, do you help with kind of pre-qualifying or to give them an idea of, hey, you've got to clean this up before we can even do this, or, hey, you should be good here. This is the amount I think you'd be able to get. Like, are you helping it, kind of at least manage the expectations?
Absolutely. What I do is I try to review all the financial information, first of all, to make sure the client has filled it out accurately and correctly. And then I look at what the strengths and weaknesses are of the deal. I actually go ahead and structure the transaction, exactly how a bank's going to look at it with the sources and uses of funding, and then what's the available collateral. So when I do a high-level summary, so I'll actually do an analysis for the lender. I'll do a high-level summary. I kind of hit on all those key components and kind of zone in on exactly what a lender's going to look at. And if there's anything that's questionable, I sort of pinpoint that up front. So it saves the lender a lot of time deciding whether or not it's going to fit their credit, the credit criteria at their institution. And then from them seeing the loan structure and then seeing the available collateral, it just really helps speed up that process.
And then part of the benefits you're providing to your clients are that you've been in the other person's chair. You've been in the financial institution's chair of seeing a lot of these applications and knowing kind of where the red, yellow, and green flags are, right?
That's exactly right. I've been a banker for over 33 years, and 25 of those I have strictly focused on SBA financing. So I do consider myself an expert in that industry and stay on top of what's going on. And like I said, have access to lenders, not only locally, but nationally. And the thing to know is that even though many institutions focus or offer the SBA lending program, every single bank can actually overlay their own bank credit policy on top of what the SBA says the rules and regulations are. So that's where you get into having such variation between the different lenders. It's not apples to apples, it's apples to oranges for sure. And so knowing the differences of the different lenders that are out there and are available is very helpful and very resourceful. And that's, again, what I bring to those clients. And one thing to know too is if I'm, there's, you know, two major SBA loan programs. There's the 7A, which is really the catch-all, the largest program that most of the lenders participate in. And then there's the SBA 504 that's really strictly for real estate and long-term fixed assets. On the 7A side, I get paid by the bank for bringing them the transaction. So it's very different from how most mortgage brokers work. On a 504, it's a little bit different. You have to work with the bank and you have to have a fee agreement with the client. But on the 7A, I actually am paid by the bank for my services. So my services are free to my clients. So I'm like, it's such a win-win for them. They're getting, you know, 33 years of banking experience and relationships at their fingertips, and my services are basically free to them.
So now what kind of like, what are some of the reasons that a person maybe should consider getting access to this capital that maybe they're not, it's not a priority, or maybe they don't have a need this second, but it might be just worth doing because, like you said, your service is kind of built, baked into the deal. Like, this seems like kind of a one of those situations where, especially with interest rates so low now, this might be something you just want to have.
Well, the SBA, as far as the program, the 7A504, the main programs, they're really specifically based on somebody having a fixed asset need. So we finance primarily real estate, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And then typically in conjunction with that, we can fund working capital and inventory. It's not a program that typically is used because it's not a line of credit. It's a true loan. So it's amortizing. So, you know, if somebody just wants to have money available, that's more of a working capital line of credit. So that's different. The SBA does offer some programs that act as a line. They're called SBA Express lines. And not all lenders offer those. So again, that's a product that you've got to find the lender that's out there that's actually offering that product. But typically, again, it's for a more specific need. Somebody's got a large purchase order in and they need to buy a lot of inventory to be able to produce those products. So that may be a one-time big, large purchase that they need to make, and then they need that line of credit to be able to do that. But then they can keep it open for a certain number of years until it's paid in full. So it gives them a lot more flexibility. But typically, we are a fixed asset lender through the two main programs, the 7A and 504. And the 7A does allow us to finance, you know, like franchise startups where you don't have real estate, you're just going into a lease space. And you may have the improvements for the lease space along with the equipment and then initial working capital and inventory. So it's a very versatile program, and there's a lot of need. A lot of people do business acquisitions. They're financed through the SBA 7A as well. That's one of the primary resources for business acquisitions. And honestly, during this time, we've seen a lot of startups, and we've actually seen a lot of business acquisitions. Those have been two of the really hot, I would say, products in the marketplace in the last several months.
Can you share maybe some of those success stories where you were able to help a client get the funds they needed? I mean, you don't have to name the company names, but the industries and the type of businesses?
Yeah, sure. Well, one was a large it's a World of Beer. I'll just say it was a World of Beer franchise. The bar was purchasing the real estate. They needed leasehold improvements and working capital. The state that they were going to be operating in, the liquor license, was extremely expensive. So they actually thought they had a lender. But then again, when we got full blown into this COVID epidemic and most of the lenders refocused their efforts on the PPP, I got a call. I do a lot of marketing on LinkedIn. So this bar actually saw my information and called me from LinkedIn and said, I'm desperate to find a lender. We thought we had one. You know, we were like 60 days away from closing on this building, and I got to have funding. And so I worked with him and kind of restructured the loan request so that we took the large cost of the liquor license out of the SBA transaction, because he actually had another lender, an alternative lender, that would finance that portion of the transaction. By doing that, we were able to get the loan to values in line using the real estate and the equipment that was more attractive for a bank. And I was able to source that financing for him, even during the middle of the PPP crisis. So that was, to me, a really good success story. And I actually had a couple of people that reached out to me during that time. I was able to help find the financing. Again, it was finding the lenders who were actually still lending through the normal SBA 7(a) loan program, even though they were processing those payroll protection loans.
Now, regarding the PPP, do you help in that area at all?
What I do, I don't handle those, but certainly I get a lot of phone calls and I will direct them to people. First of all, most of the time I direct them back to their institution first and foremost, because that's where most people need to go, because most of the banks are participating to assist their existing loan portfolio or bank clients. But if for some reason their bank is not, then I'll direct them to a lender who's accepting applications from non-bank clients.
Now, if somebody is considering going the SBA loan route, what are kind of some low-hanging fruit do's and don'ts that you would like them to be prepared to have access to, or, you know, some of the information that helps make this run smoothly?
Well, having a good idea of what their project cost is, you know, especially if somebody's going in to do a franchise transaction, they need to have a good idea of how much it's going to cost for them to do the build out for the improvements, how much their equipment package is going to be, et cetera. So definitely have the information that they need to substantiate the project cost that we're looking at. They need to have all their financial information, you know, completed. They need to have filed all their tax returns. They need to be prepared to fill out a personal financial statement, have that updated. And they probably need to know their credit score. So they probably should at least go online through one of the free services and at least know an idea of what their credit score is. I have had a lender tell me that when the borrower has told them what their credit score was, that when they've pulled it, it's actually been a few points less. So there is some discrepancy, I think, between what's out there that we have access to on the free basis, even if you subscribe to the service, versus sometimes what the bank pulls. But you generally have an idea. You know, do you have a 650 credit score? Or do you have an 800 credit score? Most people generally know, and that's going to help as well.
Now, is it something that if they don't have at least a 650, then it's going to be trickier or more?
Yes.
So
Most lenders, that's probably the cutoff. 680 to 650 is going to be probably 680 is probably more your cutoff. And there needs to be, you know, if there's something on the credit report, like there may have been a foreclosure or something in the past, there just needs to be an explanation as to what, you know, transpired and documented for the lender. But 680, I'd say, is probably most of the SBA lenders' cutoff point.
So now, what do you need more of? How could we be helping you? Do you need more relationships with these bankers and the people that have maybe clients that don't have their act together enough that they send them your way and you can help them speed up
yes.
the process? Do you need more just people looking for loans?
I would say definitely bank relationships are great for me, because so many of the bankers can't help particular clients because their bank doesn't lend for that niche, or they may not participate in the SBA. And I'm just a great resource for them to refer those clients to, because two things. One, they can maintain, if they have a banking relationship with them, they can maintain that banking relationship, because most of the SBA lenders are transaction oriented. So they're not looking to necessarily have that client move that banking relationship. So I can be definitely a benefit to them in helping their client find the financing that they need, but maintaining that relationship there. And then definitely help the bankers as well, because since I know the industry and I talk the language, I can take a lot of the work off the front end for them. If they refer the client to me, I can make sure that we have a complete loan package, that everything's accurate and correct before it's presented to the lender. So again, that's going to speed up time, and time is money, as we all know. So my motto for my company is you run your company and I'll find the money. So that's my slogan.
Good stuff. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
It is www.sba, it's sbassistanceLLC.com.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And the website, once again, is sbassistanceLLC.com.
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks, Lee. I appreciate you having me on.
Sure. We appreciate what you're doing, because it's so important. A lot of folks out there just get intimidated by the process, and to have somebody next to them that has been there and done that and can help them navigate these tricky waters is so important. So we really appreciate the work you're doing. It's important. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work could not be done without our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at OnPay.com.